सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
चैप्टर 9 वर्सेस 1-5।
श्री भगवान वाच इदं तु ते गुह्यतमम् इदं तु ते गुह्यतमम् प्रवक्ष्याम्यन सूयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञान सहितं यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यते शुभात् यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यते शुभात्। श्री भगवान उवाच इदं तु ते गुह्यतमम् प्रवक्ष्याम्यन सूयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञान सहितं यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यते शुभात्। राजविद्याराजगुह्यं पवित्रमिदमुत्तमम् प्रत्यक्षावगमं धर्म्यं सुसुकं कर्तुमव्ययम् राजविद्याराजगुह्यं पवित्रमिदमुत्तमम् प्रत्यक्षावगमं धर्म्यं सुसुकं कर्तुमव्ययम्। अश्रद्धधानापुरुषाः धर्मस्यास्य परन्तप अप्राप्य मां निवर्तन्ते मृत्युसंसारवत्मनि। अश्रद्धधानापुरुषाः धर्मस्यास्य परन्तप अप्राप्य मां निवर्तन्ते मृत्युसंसारवत्मनि। मया कथमिदं सर्वं जगदव्यक्तमूर्तिना मत्तानि सर्वभूतानि न चाहं तेष्वस्थितः मया कथमिदं सर्वं जगदव्यक्तमूर्तिना मत्तानि सर्वभूतानि न चाहं तेष्वस्थितः न च मत्तानि भूतानि पश्यमीयोगमैश्वरम् भूतभिन्न च भूतस्तः ममात्मा भूतभावनः न च मत्तानि भूतानि पश्यमीयोगमैश्वरम् भूतभिन्न च मत्तस्तः ममात्मा भूतभावनः।
First verse, there are only one verse, isn't it? So in the first verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna offers to Arjuna to talk, to give both knowledge and wisdom about the Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya, the royal knowledge, royal secret. He says, why does he offer? Because he is qualified to receive. This knowledge is never given, it is always taken. Therefore he says to you who does not cavil, who doesn't complain, carp, who is not finding faults, I shall declare the greatest secret. Together with knowledge, together with wisdom, jnanam, vijnanam. He says, I'll teach you both. Which having known, you shall be free from evil. See, knowledge only can be given by a guru. Wisdom cannot be given. Wisdom can only be achieved by the shishya with his or her own efforts. by reflecting on what has been heard, putting that into practice, slowly the knowledge converts into wisdom. We even talked about the example of making dahi. If you remember last week.
Yeah.
That's how the process of converting knowledge into wisdom. Also, he says, offering to give knowledge and wisdom means knowledge pertaining to the world and wisdom pertaining to the knowledge of the self that pervades the world. The knowledge of the world, he's talking about how this world has come about and how the self beyond it is enlivening it. All this I will talk in detail. This is what it means. Jnanam Vijnanam. Jnanam means knowledge pertaining to the samsara. Vijnanam, the self that supports the samsara. What is this samsara? How it has come about? I'll talk about it. And I'll talk about the self which is the supporting factor of the samsara. I'll give in detail this knowledge here also. Verse number 2. Raja Vidya Raja Gupyam. Raja Vidya Raja Gupyam. Pavitramidam Uttamam. Pavitramidam Uttamam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Susukam kartum avyayam. Susukam kartum avyayam. Raja Vidya Raja Gupyam. Pavitramidam Uttamam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Susukam kartum avyayam. Raja Vidya, the royal knowledge, Raja Guhya, the royal secret, is supreme purifier. He says, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. It is a supreme purifier. Pratyaksha Vagamam. Pratyaksha Vagamam means it's directly realizable. And Dharmyam, righteous. Very easy to practice. Susukam. Very easy to practice. And it is avyayam. It is imperishable. I've already explained to you what is Raja Vidya and Raja Guhya means last week. Raja Vidya is the knowledge of the self. The self pervades the entire universe. The entire universe has come about from the self. Self is that which is enlivening your perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. So the knowledge of the self, which is the knowing principle illuminating all your knowledge. Using your eyes, you come to know of certain things. But the very eyes could have helped you to know that with the help of self-eliminating it. Believe me. See, knowledge can be gained through four sources. What are the four sources? Pratyaksha. Then Anumana. Then Upama. Then Agama. Pratyaksha is direct perception. You see something and you know about it. You don't know what is an apple. I show you an apple. Seeing an apple, you have now come to know what an apple is. It's called knowing through perception. Not everything can be known through perception. Certain things needs to be inferred. The inference is called anumana. Right? You infer. There is smoke, so you infer there is fire. Like that. Then upama, comparison. Shivaji was a tiger. He was as ferocious as a tiger. Right? So comparison. Through comparison you understand. The other is traditional method. The traditional method comes in the case of self-knowledge. Because here, perception, inference, comparison, all this only up to a point it can help. Self-knowledge can only be given through the traditional method of revealing the truth. Slowly, slowly they take you from the known to the unknown. In the scriptures they call us Chandra Shaka Nyaya. Chandra means moon, Shaka means branch, Nyaya means analogy. Chandra Shaka Nyaya, moon branch analogy, which is during the daytime sometimes the moon can be sighted and you are sighted the moon and you are going along with your friend and you say, "Are you a beautiful new moon?" He is not able to see. So what do you do? How much ever you find out, there, he is where, you can't see it. So the method is, you point him to a tree, right? And you see the tree? He says yes. You see the trunk? Yes. You see the branches? Yes. You see that particular branch? Yes. You move up to the edge of the branch, the twig? Yes. Look between the twig. He looks between the twig and says yes. Hear me. The tree, the trunk, the branch, the twigs have got nothing to do with the moon directly. Yet they were helpful in pointing the moon. Similarly, the scripture uses words, right? All of them, through that you have to look towards the self. They present it in a particular format. This is what Krishna said, I'll give you both knowledge and wisdom in the traditional method. By following that, like from the trunk to the branch to the twigs to the moon, slowly you will see the self. So he said, this is a royal knowledge because this is the knowledge behind all knowledge. Because without self-enlivening, your body, mind, intellect, you can never come to gain any knowledge. It is the base of all knowledge, the absolute knowledge which illumines all other knowledge. Therefore it is called royal knowledge. And why is it called royal secret? Royal secret because nobody knows. Because it is not an object of comprehension, but it is a subjective apprehension. Only a person who knows, he knows, even he cannot explain. If he talks, they will say, "Are you pagal over here?" Before I joined the ashram in 1992, before that, a group of friends, we always meet up. And suddenly, I've always been having this interest, but suddenly I found classes, this class is happening in, just like how you're all attending classes here, I found some classes in Chennai. Myself and another close friend of mine. So we both started attending the class. We only attended for almost maybe 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And then we decided to join the ashram. We quit the job and took up the ashram full time. But all my friends, you know, other than the two of us, we had common friends. So they all said, "Where are you guys going?" So we brought them to the class once in a while. They only came one week. Then they said, "My God, you're sitting in these kinds of classes. We don't want to come here, you know." They didn't continue. But when we were leaving, we are like family friends. So we went to some of our friends' houses. We had to say bye because 3 years full-time course we are doing. We don't come back. There's no weekend vacation. So we wanted to say bye, and so we went. A friend of mine knows where we are going. Parents are not sure where we are going. So first we were talking to our friend. So he was saying, "Why you guys want to go? Why can't you study here only? Weekly classes is more than enough. Unnecessarily you are quitting the job and going. So there's no need, you know." I didn't answer. I kept quiet. Because maybe you can say I didn't know how to answer also. And I knew if I answered certain things, will think there is something wrong with me, so I kept quiet. But the other friend of mine, who was also joining with me, he was very enthusiastic. He told my friend, you know, we don't know who we are. And this is a very serious issue. All this while we didn't understand this. And now we understand. Before knowing anything else, we should know who we are. And yes, we can study here and understand also, but there are a lot of, you know, distractions and this and that. So we really want to go and study this, spend time for this. That's where we are going. That fellow, you will not believe, he was continuously laughing. He said, you don't know who you are? You understand? He cannot understand what we are saying. He started laughing. You don't know who you are. You want to know who you are, but then you are going. What has gone wrong with you fellows, man? You know? In other words, even when you know, forget about knowing the self. When you come to know that you actually do not know about yourself. And not only you do not know about yourself, nobody knows about themselves. And if you tell them, nobody knows about themselves. Similarly, I don't know about myself. They'll think you have to go to asylum. The secret, even if it's revealed to you, even if you have become a jnani, if you go and talk about this secret, they'll say, what are you talking about? Greek and Latin for them. They don't understand. It remains a secret forever. This is a royal knowledge, royal secret. And see, always remember, for a kshatriya, when you say secret, it's a challenge. He cannot take anything as something which he cannot. So it is a secret. Very few people know. You say what? No, I conquer it. You know, so Krishna is using that word to say that. What have you conquered? Many things, man. Conquer this. This is the greatest secret. Let me see. No? And then the question comes, okay, if I find that secret, if I unlock that secret, if I unveil the secret, what will it? What will happen to me? He says, it's a supreme purifier. See, mind wants to know kya fayda. Always understand this. What is in it for me? Why do I have to travel 10 kilometers, go to this class every week, and then every day get up early and study? Kya fayda? You understand? It's a supreme purifier. It purifies you of all your sins, of all your vasanas. When you become conscious, thereafter, all your habits which have been accumulated unconsciously, indiscriminately, leaves you. Please understand this. Thereafter, there won't be any regrets in your life. Today our life is nothing but what? Constant regret. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't talk like that. Why? Because while I was talking like that, while I was behaving like that, I was in a state of non-awareness. Therefore I committed the mistake. And later on I am now sitting and regretting. And life has become a big sigma regret. Why? Because I have never kindled the consciousness within. The moment you ignite the consciousness from within, automatically you become purified of all your habits. Mechanically you have picked up all your habits. You get completely purified. All your negativities, the so-called negative beliefs, lead you. You become more charged. You are completely purified. There is no negative anymore. There won't be any negative thought. Whenever you think of anything, sometimes what happens is in a business, when they have meetings, there are few people who will always come to the meetings to talk about how they cannot achieve these things. Why it is not possible to achieve these things? Because they have negative mindset, they have. Everywhere they keep on looking at the block. You understand? But when you are charged with this knowledge, you look at the way in which it can be achieved. You get absolutely purified. And for to gain this knowledge, you don't have to take it as true from the words. You can directly realize. Of course you can directly realize, provided you put in effort. See, there are certain things, like for example, somebody goes to the moon and come back and tell you how the moon looks like. And you say, okay, I believe. He brings some pictures which is even more substantial, corroborating. But you've never been. You've not directly seen it. So, do I have to, because it's the greatest secret, do I have to always get it only from somebody else? Can I not directly realize? He says, no, you can directly realize. From where you are, it's possible. You can get there because this knowledge is common to all. Because it is your essential self. You know, when you have absolute freedom, you are the king. You are the king, right? You become royal. So when a country becomes absolutely free, each citizen in that country is royal. You mean? But each citizen may be conditioned at certain level, maybe only looking at his purse, or maybe only looking at his achievements, or maybe only looking at his degree, and think that I am very limited and I am not kingly. Are you with me? Similarly, each one of us are essentially divine and royal. But today, we are looking at ourselves from the level of our body, from the level of our mind, from the level of our intellect, and we think we are very low. Can such a person like me realize yourself? Yes, you can directly realize yourself. Why? Because your essential nature is self. Yes, you may take the help of scripture, but you can directly realize. See, ultimately, you must convert the knowledge into wisdom. When you convert the knowledge into wisdom, the information has now been transformed. Information is always coming from outside. Transformation is something that has happened within you. Isn't it? Information is fusion. Transformation is intuition. Being informed is different from knowing. Being informed means somebody has told me. I'm told that way or this way. But when I know it, no, it's not because somebody has told me. I've seen it myself. I've experienced it myself. Yes, you can experience it. How? By eliminating the vasanas. And then righteous, dharmyam. The self, the moment a person achieves the self, it's like mariner's compass. barrenness conquers always points towards God. Isn't it? Similarly, the self, moment you achieve, you can take it for granted that you can never do any unrighteousness. That's what I told you. When you expose the negative to light, what happens? It cannot be developed. The moment you become conscious, you cannot do any unrighteous activity. Please understand. If you are conscious, you can't steal. If you are conscious, you can't murder. Because when the consciousness rises within you, the snow of desires, greed, avarice that is covering your buddhi dissolves. Are you with me? Like when sun rises, then thereafter the snow cannot exist. Are you with me? Similarly, as the self within rises, as you start unveiling the self, discovering the self, you are essentially the self. It's covered with the desires. So as you remove the desires and as the self starts getting discovered, more and more you start becoming righteous. Are you with me? See, when you are taught morality, not necessarily you will be spiritual. But when you are spiritual, you will be moral. You can never become immoral. Please understand. You will always be righteous. The conscience within always points towards the self. Like Shakespeare says, to thine own self with you, and it must follow as night the day. Thou canst not then be false to anyone. Because thereafter there is no desire covering. Why do anybody commit any sin? Because the desire has overpowered him or her. Lady Macbeth and Macbeth together murdered Duncan. Duncan was the king and he was a benefactor. But these two people aspired to be the rulers. So they invited Duncan for a meal and poisoned him and killed Duncan. And thereafter, Macbeth says, Macbeth murdered sleep, murdered sleep. They brought the sleepless nights upon themselves. And why did they do that? Covered by desire. Read me. Why does a person who has been functioning nicely suddenly gets a thought and then he encourages it in attachment? You remember that verse, Jayato Vishayam Pumsaha Sangat Ishuva Jayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Krodopi Jayate Krodha Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vibramaha Smriti Bramsha Buddhi Nashaha Buddhi Nashaha Pranashyate. How did this whole thing start? Thought. You know, a fellow in Coimbatore was doing he was running a printing press. He was doing very well. But you know, printing press is a little, it's not easy. So much hard work, and you have to get the money, and still the customer may say, no, slightly the color is different, I'm not paying you. You know, all sorts of things. After so much of difficulty, then making money. So suddenly he got a thought. I have to do all these things, then for what? Finally to earn this money, no? Anyway, I am running a printing press. Why not I print money? You understand?
Printing this, that, and publishing, then
by the time I get the money, big hustle. So he thought directly print money. He printed. And he ended up in jail. Please understand this. One thought is enough to knock you off. Desires are like bacterium. When a bacterium enters your system, it multiplies by bisecting itself. One becomes 2, 4, 8, 16, goes on. Multiplies. Right? And even if you are such a powerful, strong person, slowly the bacteria finishes. Eats your system completely. Exactly like that. The desires are like bacteria. They will finish you. And one desire is enough. Sometimes just one thought. One stupid thought you get. So why not? Why not I take a chance? And you have got away many times taking a chance. That emboldens you even further. And God knows whether that leap could be fatal or not. It could be fatal. This one happens to many business houses. Greed. You understand? They do so well and they get into greed. And when they get into greed, it completely covers their vision, their thinking. Thereafter, you will not be consulting your intellect, should I do it or should I not? You will be consulting your intellect saying, tell me how I can do it without getting caught. Everybody is doing it. Thereafter, the way you will be consulting will be different. You won't be consulting the intellect, giving total freedom to the intellect. You will say, give me some methods how it can be achieved. You don't mind crossing that path. The Lakshman Rekha. That line. So he says, righteous. The moment you turn towards the self, you start becoming righteous. Thereafter you don't give it to your desires. Then easily attainable, easy to practice. Why easy to practice? See, it's like driving in a, you use a golf club and drive. If you have learnt it wrongly, to get back to proper driving is so difficult. The swinging has gone wrong. Understand? You have practiced wrongly. From wrong practice to come to right practice is from the beginning. We have got into right practice and similarly, he says easy because that's your natural self. But the problem is for long, we have lived in the non-self. For long, we have been pursuing desires. See, please understand, the easiest thing to do is speak the truth. Because you don't have to think too much. Isn't it? If you are saying lies, you have to think too much. And you have to remember what all lies you said to different people. In what context. Are you with me? Then it becomes such a difficult task. we are actually making our life complicated. This is what he's saying. So when he says easily attainable, obviously for the mumukshus, the original self to attain is easiest, but we are moved far away. And it can happen any minute. Self-realization can happen any minute. And no such thing like only it can happen in the meditation room. It can happen in your boardroom. It can happen on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You mean? So he says easily attainable. Because it's your original self. Using your intellect you can easily discover. And it is imperishable. It is the, we have seen that imperishable in detail in previous chapter. Self is imperishable. Next verse. See, any other knowledge you gain, it perishes with your death. Any knowledge you gain perishes with your death. Katham? You don't carry your physics knowledge, math knowledge, biology knowledge to your next generation. Do you? You don't. When you are born, suddenly you see any child expert in biology, the inclination is there, not the knowledge. Again, the child has to learn the basics, tables, everything. So what you carry is not this knowledge. It leaves you. But once you attain self, thereafter you don't lose it. It's permanent. Once you wake up from the dream, once you wake up from the dream, you don't fall back to the same dream. You remain there. You carry only your vasanas, your sattva-rajasas. Nothing else you carry. From one janma to another, whatever level of development you have achieved, your vasanas you carry. Beyond that you carry nothing. So he says this is possible, it's attainable, he encourages Arjuna. All you need to have if you want to achieve that, he is going to say what it is in this verse. Ashraddhana purushaha, ashraddhana purushaha, dharmasyasya parantapa, dharmasyasya parantapa, aprapyamami vartante, aprapyamami vartante, mrityu samsara vartmani, mrityu samsara vartmani, ashraddhana purushaha, dharmasyasya parantapa, aprapyamami vartante, mrityu samsara vartmani. O parantapa, O scorcher of foes, O destroyer of enemies, O destroyer of any obstacle, and whatever stands as obstacle for the secret, why don't you destroy? That is the reason why he addresses Arjuna as parantapa. O parantapa, men devoid of shraddha, ashraddha dana, purushaha. Ashraddha dana purushaha dharmasya. In this dharma, in this supreme knowledge, if you do not have shraddha, if you have no faith, you will not attain me. Without attaining me, aprapyama nivartante, you return. Where do you return? Mrityu samsara vartvani, the path of the mortal world. You will continue in the chakra of punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So what do you need to have? Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Adi Shankara defines Shraddha as faith in the words of the master and scripture.
faith in the words of the master and
church.
And with that faith, you continue pursuing the scripture and the master till you have achieved the self. That is Shraddha. Shraddha is not just a skin deep faith. Are you with me? You, with persistence, consistency, you continue. You don't give up till you have brought about that transformation within. See, the end of Mahabharata, when the Pandavas were climbing the Himalayas, because when they reached the cliff, the chariot is ready for them to take off to heaven. So they are walking up the mountain. One by one, they back off. Finally, only Yudhishthira reaches that cliff with that dog. And when he is about to enter the chariot, he takes the dog along with him because the dog is also reaching. So then they say, no, you cannot come because dogs are not allowed in heaven. Only human beings can realize this. Oh, but dog has also come. You must take, otherwise I am not coming. This is a test that Yudhishthira's father, Lord of Righteousness, Lord Dharma, was giving to Yudhishthira. He himself had come disguising himself as a dog. So then he reveals his true identity and takes him to heaven. You know the story. In other words, up to a point you go on the new leaf. Depends on how deep is your struggle. Are you with me? If you really understand this knowledge, you will say, no, I am not going to give it up till I have transformed myself. Till I don't need to practice this sadhana anymore. How long do I have to carry anything till I have achieved that level where the world cannot influence me anymore? See, for the cue for TB, they prescribed medicine for a year or so. Isn't it? Forget about TB, even antibiotics. A lot of people don't finish the course. They don't finish the course. They give up in between. I'm not right now. So a lot of people, because there is so much pressurizing and all that, it seemed important for them to get into this knowledge. And as they got into this knowledge, slowly they found a lot of relief. But once that pressure slowly goes down, slowly they give up pursuing it. The problem. Till I cannot be influenced anymore. See, today I am totally influenced by the world. I need to rise up to the level where the world can do no influence on me, have no influence on me. Are you with me? Thereafter, I can walk along with them, but never get influenced by them. Then I have total freedom. Today, if I go, after a few days, I get influenced. I get conditioned. This is my level. How the world tempts you. You can test yourself. You tell very clearly, I will be in that place only up to 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and you go there. And as you go there, some events are going on. and you are about to leave. He said, no, you can't go now. The most important event, he said, it's going to come now. You want to leave now? So, little more, slowly you end up spending the whole night. Slowly you find that you have completely influenced. So if you have Shraddha, you go to the end. You will believe, why did I get into? See, starting, anybody can start. How many of you complete it? Who has the last laugh? The perseverance with which you continue. So the men who do not have it, people who do not have it, they cannot achieve. They cannot achieve. They give up. So Parantapa, men devoid of Shraddha in this Dharma, without attending me, return to the path of the mortal world. Mrityu, death. Mrityu samsara vatmani. They get into this chakra of birth and death. Chakra of birth and death means they get influenced by the change. Once you are transformed from within, thereafter any change doesn't touch you. You don't get influenced by the change. Believe me. Change is constant in the world outside. Everything will constantly change. But before the transformation, each and every change is having an impact on you, throwing you out of balance. Isn't it? See, we are living in a world which is in a constant flux of change. It's not a static millennium. Isn't it? Sudden change. Earthquake has come and thrown people onto the streets.